It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. Hopefully, you guys had a fantastic Mother's Day. Maybe you had some graduation stuff over this past weekend. I certainly hope that everything went well. It is beautiful outside today. The only problem is when it gets like this, my allergies usually start flaring up. Some of you that have the seasonal allergies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It feels like your eyes are on fire. You just randomly start sneezing. Now in a post-COVID world, when you sneeze one time, everybody starts looking at you all weird. You good? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm perfectly fine. I just got a little quick little sniffle. I'm not sick. I'm not cold. I just got to take my Allegra now. Let me take my Allegra. Let me take my Benadryl allergy medicine. I'll be good. I'll be straight. I sneezed one time earlier. Rob looked at me with so much disgust and contempt. I didn't understand where all that came from today. I didn't do anything to warrant that. We'll talk some Chiefs in this 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk some Royals in this 5 o'clock hour. I might try to sneak in and sprinkle in a little NBA in this 5 o'clock hour. We do know now the official sentencing for Chiefsaholic. He is going to do 32 years in prison. He is going to do 17 and a half in federal prison. He will then do the rest in Oklahoma. So I don't think that we are going to be hearing any more from Chiefsaholic. He has been sentenced for 32 years in prison. He got sentenced earlier today. So he will get out probably around the time that Patrick Mahomes' son is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. That is the time that Chiefsaholic will be out of prison. All right, Rob, where do you want to start before we get into the hits? You want to do a little Royals right now or you want to do a little Chiefs? How are you feeling right now in this 5 o'clock hour?
Let's leave with a little Royals. We're about an hour away from Vern taking the air. Let's leave with some Royals.
All right, so let's do this. I think we can say something pretty definitive about the Kansas City Royals. Now, I don't say this to be a Debbie Downer. I don't say this to be negative. I really don't mean it that way. But I'm a big believer that we have seen enough Royals baseball to come to this conclusion. Their offense is a problem. Their offense is what is going to be the thing that holds them back the most from having a higher ceiling, from having the ability to really do something special this postseason and make a little bit of a run. So I added it up. I went back to last September. So when the Vinny injury happened, last September, last October, what they have done so far this season, if you throw that into this year, Rob, since September 1st of last year, they are averaging 3.28 runs per game. What does that mean in a real life sense? That would be good for 29th in Major League Baseball right now. They are currently 26th in runs scored so far this season. we have seen 25% of the Royals' season. So, yes, it is still early. There is still time to turn things around. I'm not telling you to give up on the Royals, but I think we have seen enough Royals baseball to come to this conclusion. I don't really see too many scenarios in which their offense is going to be why they get eliminated. I don't really see too many instances in which their defense is going to be the reason why they get eliminated from the postseason. It will be their offense. That is why they got eliminated last year. Their offense has not been good enough this season. Their offense is a problem. Now, I'm not here to just tell you things that you don't know. I'm here to tell you this about the Royals. I'm here to tell you that eventually the Royals are going to be faced with a very, very difficult decision. The decision is going to be they're going to need to give up something very valuable to go get a bat. Now, I don't know what that valuable thing could be. It could be Michael Wacha. It could be Noah Cameron. It could be Seth Lugo. I don't know what it is. But at some point, the Royals, who appear to have a surplus of starting pitching, they got a bunch of it. There's a lot of clubs that would love to be in a position where Kansas City is, where they got too much starting pitching. Eventually, the Royals are going to be in a situation where a team is going to have an outfielder that they like. And there's going to be another team, another franchise that also needs that quality bat, that also needs that outfielder, that also needs that second baseman, that is going to potentially offer more than what the Royals can. So the Royals are going to have to trade something that they really, really love. You can already see where this is headed. The Royals don't have enough offense to make this season truly special, in my opinion. They have enough offense to make the playoffs. They have enough offense to win 85 games. They have enough pitching. They have enough defense. They have enough of those things to win 85 games. I don't think they have enough to beat the Yankees in a series. I don't think they have enough to really contend with the upper echelon, or at least who we perceive those teams to be in the American League. Not if you're going to be bottom five in scoring. Not if you're going to average 3.2 runs per game the way that they have over their last 70 baseball games. Dating back to last year, we're talking about 70 games. They're averaging 3.2 runs per game. The average is 4. This team is going to have to do something to get their offense near the middle or closer to the upper half of baseball. And if they do that, they will then put themselves in a real chance where they can be dangerous, where they can really do something special and catch a team off guard. But it's just going to be really difficult to do it with the offense that they tried out there every single night.
I think they need to make multiple moves. And I agree with you. At some point, they're going to have to make an arm for a bat move. Now, that doesn't mean they're giving up Cole Reagans. Like, I don't want to speak for you, but you're looking at, you know, maybe Noah Cameron is one of the arms they give up. They have an excess. It's a good problem to have. They have an excess of quality arms. You can afford to give up one for a bat. Similar to last year, they give up a handful of, hey, high-level prospects for a great reliever in Lucas Hursig. I could see that again. A prospect, a known commodity, a pitcher, and you get a known commodity at bat. But I don't think that's enough. This team is not just one bat away. I think J.J. Piccolo and co. need to treat the offense the way they treated the bullpen last year. Because remember, it wasn't just, hey, we had a Lucas Hursig, our bullpen problems are fixed. They did a lot of stuff to try to fix the bullpen. They went out and traded for Michael Lorenzen, a guy who they thought he can start, and then in the postseason, he can push back into the bullpen. That was one move they made. They traded for Hunter Harvey. Now, it didn't work out, but that was another back into the bullpen arm. They went out and made a move. We got to get that guy. Then they went out and made the move for Lucas Hursig. We got to add another arm to our bullpen. The Royals made 3 moves last season to improve their bullpen. I think JJ needs to do the same this year. I think he needs to make a move soon to improve the lineup. And I think he needs to make another one where we agree on the arm for a bat move closer to the deadline. And then you got to hope maybe a Peyton Wilson or a Nick Lofton or a Jack Caglione can be another addition through your farm system in August and September, because the offense they tried out there night in and night out, it's not going to be a special season good. It's going to have to be exactly where you were last year, and there's value in that. It's not, oh, we're playing baseball around Halloween good.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, you never, ever, ever, ever give up an arm for a bat. This is an absolutely dumb take to do this. I would like to point out that the Royals traded Zach Greinke in return. They got Lorenzo Cain, Alcides Escobar, and they got a couple other arms. But Lorenzo Cain and Alcides Escobar, they ended up being the most valuable. They then ended up packaging some of those other things that they got to then make another trade. In order for the Royals to go get Ben Zobrist, they traded Sean Manaea to go out there and do it. So, we have seen examples of trading an arm for a bat have actually ended up pretty well for the Kansas City Royals. I'm telling you right now that what this team could desperately use is a bat like Ben Zobrist. It's just going to cost for you to do it. Everything costs. If the Royals aren't going to be major players in free agency and then spend the money to go get the bat, I mean, there's only three ways you can get them. You either draft them, and the Royals have done a really good job at drafting. You drafted Vinny Pasquantino. You drafted Jack Caglione. You drafted Bobby Witt Jr. Like, you can draft them. It takes years to accumulate that, but you can do it that way. You can either be big-time spenders in free agency to go find that bat. The Royals have never really been that team that you think is going to go spend big-time, certainly not to get an impact bat in free agency, or you got to give up something you really, really love in a trade. You give up Sean Manaea. You give up Montgomery a couple of years ago in a trade. You have to give up something like that. If you think this team really has a chance, and if you look at the American League as being really wide open, which I think that it is, I think you would say the Yankees are the best team. After the Yankees, who's the second best team in the American League? Is it the Mariners? Is it the Astros?
It might be the Tigers.
It might be the Tigers. And like, there's not really that much of a difference. I think we all know other teams in the American League are going to see the weaknesses that they have, and they're probably more inclined to add payroll than you are, and they probably got more ammunition. I mean, the one thing that the Royals have right now is a surplus of starting pitching. They just got a bunch of it right now. What they don't have right now is a lot of impact quality bats, certainly not in the outfield. I don't know if the Royals have the resources on their own roster to fix their problems. Because you guys keep telling me, well, they got to play Hunter Renfroe. They don't have a choice. Well, if you don't have a choice to not play Hunter Renfroe every day, you ain't got enough offense then. If you're telling me they can't get rid of Hunter Renfroe because they don't have any other options other than one of the worst hitters in Major League Baseball, it's a problem then. What is the pathway to the Royals getting to average? Because if you are looking at the standings and you are looking at the numbers of where they are offensively, if you are just talking about this offense getting to average, I'm not talking about the Royals being a team that scores 5 runs a game. That would put them in the top 5 in Major League Baseball. That's not what we're talking about. We are talking about the Royals going from 26th offensively, so being bottom 5, to what can they do to be average. If you talk about it early on in the season, if the Royals were average offensively, they'd have 26 more runs this season. Can you imagine how many more runs or wins the Royals would have if you just sprinkled 26 more runs? Now, sure, some of those might come in games that they win. Man, some of those would be on days like Saturday or Sunday where you just didn't have enough offense to win. It's going to be really hard to beat the Astros in series or the Red Sox in series. You aren't doing that with 4 games or with 4 runs over the weekend. You just aren't. You aren't beating quality teams with the offense that they trot out there every day. Something drastically is going to need to change from outside the organization. And I don't think the only fix is a 22-year-old who has never played Major League Baseball. I'm all for Cags coming up, but that cannot be the only thing you were counting on to generate offense for this team, is we're just waiting for this 22-year-old to come save us. No, you need to go trade for a 28-year-old who has 5 years of Major League experience that hits 270, can hit for a little bit of pop, and can move runners. You need to go make that move too. You didn't this offseason, and the question that we had about the outfield still exists. At some point, they have to address it if they want to take that next step as an organization.
Here's the thing, and I know you feel this way, so we're on the same page. If the Royals view Jack Caglione as he's the magic cure-all to the offensive issues and we're just waiting for him to come up and then all problems are solved, that's malpractice by the organization. To rely on a 21-year-old who has never taken a triple-A at-bat, mind you, to come up at some point in the season and, hey, we don't need to be trading a Chris Bubich. We don't need to trade a Seth Lugo. We don't need to move on from Michael Lorenzen because we have Cags in the pipeline. That's so flawed. How many times, Carrington, have we seen a prospect for the Royals be dubbed as the savior. They come up, the pressure of being the savior crushes them, and they never live up to the hype or expectation. I feel like that story is written in stone in Kansas City. We can name all the prospects that had them fail. If the Royals' plan is to bring Cags up in the middle of a postseason push and be like, hey, you're the magic elixir, fix it, the pressure for him to be perfect would be just immense. They need to make a handful of moves, I would say a bevy of moves, and Cags can be part of the equation. But if the largest part of the equation is Cags, then J.J. Piccolo is committing malpractice. Now, I don't believe he's doing that, but that would be such a bad plan if it's just Cags as a cure-all. It'd be dumb.
Text line 913-586-7965. This offense can be good enough. Look at the Chiefs. I don't think we are comparing the two things when the Royals are bottom five offensively. The Chiefs were 17th last year offensively. So, yes, the Chiefs did not have a dynamic offense last year. They were still hovering around average. It's not what the Royals are. We're a quarter of the way through the season, and the teams that the Royals have outscored are the Rockies, the White Sox, the Pirates, and the Rangers. Three of those teams have already fired their manager. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, calm down. We're above 500. You guys are talking like we're the Rockies. No, I'm not talking like they're the Rockies. I don't think they're the Rockies at all. I thought you guys are interested in them advancing in the postseason. I agree with you. The Royals can make the postseason the way they are right now. I think the Royals can win 85 games the way they are right now. I don't think the Royals are a viable World Series contender with their offense the way that it is. And if that's cool with you, then that's fine. I mean, I don't have that much of a problem with it. You know what? I love that they're really viable until football season. They get really viable, and then when they lose, it's like, oh, well, the Chiefs are 4-1, and they're the best team in the NFL. Like, the way they got things set up right now is actually really, really good for me. I like the way that they are right now. I'm interested in them potentially being better than what they are right now. I think the Royals are a good team. Their offense will never allow them to be a great team. You can't be a great team bottom five in offense. You can't. It's impossible to be. You can be a great team with their rotation. You can be a great team with their bullpen. You can be a great team with their defense. You can't be a great team with your offense that over the last 70 games, you're averaging 3.2 runs per game, which will put you at 29th on offense. You cannot be great if that's the case. So again, they are not the Rockies. They are a good team. They're going to win 85 games. They're going to be in contention this entire year. If the Royals want to really put themselves into the conversation of legitimate true contenders, at some point they're going to have to make a trade to pick up a bat. They don't have enough offense, I think, to navigate through a very difficult postseason scoring less than three runs a game. All right, Rob, let's talk a little football here.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Really quick, I just want to read this text and we'll move on. CDOT, how do you know Jack is not ready? Jack could be ready. If they brought up Jack Caglione, I'd be standing with you guys. My point is, your only improvement for the offense can't be a 22-year-old who hasn't played Major League Baseball. Like, Cags might come up. What if he struggles for a little bit? Like, possible, right? I mean, that's happened before. So if your plan in June is to bring up Cags and go get a bat, I would say that's an ideal situation. Hey, you add two bats. There's not a lot of pressure on Cags to come up and instantly hit five and be a constant run producer for this team. So I'm not telling you Cags is not ready. I'm just telling you if that's their big plan is to add a 22-year-old who has never played Major League Baseball, that's not going to be the plan for the teams that they are in contention with. That's not going to be the Yankees' plan at the deadline. That's not going to be the Tigers' plan at the deadline or the Guardians or the teams that they're going to have to eventually beat in these playoff series.
I just want to let people know the hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, as the NFL news machine speeds up, we are starting to get one of my least favorite times of year, NFL schedule leaks, and according to the report, it looks like...
I love a good NFL schedule leak.
I don't mind the leaks. I hate the self-serving Tirico's on Good Morning America. You know someone's... Nate Burleson will be on there tomorrow.
You hate the show of the NFL. I don't mind the show all the time.
They dominate the news cycle to announce that, oh, the Bears and Packers are playing a game. We know the Bears or Packers are playing a game next year. But as part of this slow drip NFL news cycle, we now reportedly know how the Chiefs will handle week one. They are, according to reports, headed to Brazil to take on the LA Chargers. Carrington, this has some fans up in a little bit of a huff that the team is headed out of country for week one on a Friday night. Do you see those complaints as valid, or is it just people like to complain and the Chiefs playing Brazil is a good thing?
I mean, I don't really know why you would. You can fade the music down. We can talk about this. I don't really know why, as a Chiefs fan, you'd be that upset with this. This isn't a home game. I mean, a large majority of you were not going to this game anyway, and you were planning on watching it on television. Now, sure, some of you maybe were going out to L.A., and now you're not going to be able to make that trip, or you live out there, and you know that's your one Chiefs game a year. I'm sure that's the case, but we're talking about what? This affects like 30,000 people? I mean, a large majority of us were just planning on watching this game on the TV. I am always going to be in favor of any Chiefs game that doesn't have them playing Sunday at noon. Sign me up. You are telling me that this is what my football weekend looks like for the first week of the NFL season. We got the Thursday game between the Cowboys and the Eagles. We have the Friday game on YouTube. It looks like it's going to be between the Chiefs and the Chargers. On Saturday, Missouri plays Kansas for the first time in football since, what, 2009, I think it is? Somewhere around there, maybe a little later than that because they were in the Big 12. So, look, 2010, 2011, somewhere in that range. And then we got Red Zone Sunday at noon, and then we don't know what the 325 and what the Sunday Night Football game is going to be, and we don't know what Monday Night Football is going to be. That sounds like an ideal football weekend to me. I love when the Chiefs don't play Sunday at noon, and I'm always going to be on the side of you guys getting, if you're a season ticket holder, I want you to get all the games that they got you promised. As long as you get your 8 games every single year, I am on your side. And this year, they're not taking this as a road game, so I don't really know why you can be that mad about it. The only thing I think you can be mad about in relation to this is you can't even be mad about the television aspect of it. It's going to be on YouTube. You know they're going to show it locally, and it's going to be on YouTube. Great. The field will be awful. It will be awful. It really will be. I mean, it's bad that we already know this 3 months before the game actually happens, that I can tell you the condition that the field is going to be in. But we've seen enough of these international games. They played a game in Brazil last year on a soccer field, and it was a problem. You know that it's going to be a problem. We know that the NFL values profit over player safety at every single turn. I don't even know why the NFL is doing this, other than it makes us money. But everything they do makes them money. But I get it. You want to try to expand your market share. You have sold America more than enough football. So now you got to sell Germany football. You got to sell Mexico football. You got to sell Brazil football. I get it. But we already know this before they ever take the field. We know it before we ever see it. The field is not going to be in good condition. So, Mahomes, stay safe. Kelce, Chris Jones, Trent McDuffie, everybody, stay safe. Because the quality of the field on that Monday, when we come back to discuss it, will be a major talking point. The NFL has shown us that time and time again. The field is not going to be in a great condition.
I also think it's fair. Fans complain that the NFL's greed and then their eyes being in their stomach is now they're taking over Friday nights. Like, on top of KUMU that weekend and all the things you mentioned, you know what else is on a Friday night in Kansas City? Week one of Kansas high school football, week two of Missouri high school football. If you are a fan, if you are a parent, if you are a administrator, coach, person who works at a school, you don't get to watch the Chiefs now because the NFL just, it used to treat high school football like it was hallowed territory. Hey, you have Friday, Saturday, and then we dominate Sunday. The NFL's given up that dream. They're just going to take over every day of the week. I think it's fair if fans are a little bit upset that if you got a kid who plays for, you know, Harrisonville High, you have to make a choice between watching the Chiefs and watching your kid. That's a little bit unfair by the NFL.
I don't think it's a little bit unfair. I think it is very unfair. I think the NFL, like somebody on the text line says, I don't like this because football is an American product. The NFL does not care about any of those things. The NFL has shown you, we about this money. We don't care about you, the fan. We don't care about the health of the players. Go get us our money. Football on Friday nights is a high school thing. It has been that way for as long as we can remember. And the NFL never messed with that because they understand. Well, now we don't care about that. There is a window. The NFL just 2 years ago said they had no interest playing on Christmas if it didn't fall on their traditional schedule. They lied. Netflix came in, swooped in with the bag, and gave them the money for it. So I don't listen to the NFL about any of those things. If it makes dollars, it makes sense to them. They don't care. They'd play a game on the moon if the United States government paid them enough to do it. If NASA paid enough money to sponsor a game, they'd figure out a way to have Patrick Mahomes play on the moon. If you could get a game sponsored by the U.S. Coast Guard, they would have the Dolphins play underwater against the actual Dolphins. They don't care about any of that. So, yes, you will get your football and you will like it. And we don't care what day you want it to come on. We decided it's coming on Friday, September 15th at 7 o'clock. You will be watching it. A lot of people will be watching it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
We were talking about the report, and we'll find out in a couple of days if this is 100% true, but I certainly think it is trending in that direction. It looks like the Chiefs are going to start their season on a Friday. That would be Friday, September 5th, I think it would be. Yeah, September 5th, because I think the Missouri-KU game is on the 6th, so it'll be the next day. Someone on the text line says, high school Friday night football is huge in KC. What about those fans? The NFL is telling you to watch it on your phone. That's what they're telling you. Or stay at home. I don't say that to be callous. I understand that a lot of you, hey, my kid's a senior. I want to be at his game. I also want to watch my team. This is the problem that the NFL ran into when they decided to start doing this. They tried it last year. People liked the idea of it. And they are going to continue to do it. Like, this is now a part of the NFL schedule. The NFL is not really in the business of trying things and then abandoning it, especially if it goes well. It went well the last time they did this. They are doing it again. Christmas went well last year. They are expanding Christmas Day. So these Friday games, and if they had a choice, they keep doing it. They legally can't do it. There's like a television rule. We don't got to get super deep into it, but there is a window that they can do it when they're doing it, and then they get the ability to play games Saturday later in the year. That's why they start picking up Saturday in December and not earlier in the season. Like they can't show football games on the Friday and the Saturday during certain times of the year. So the NFL, anytime they think that there is a television window to show games, they will absolutely show games. So some of you are just going to be inconvenienced by this. Some of you are going to have to either tape it, watch it later, miss it, or watch it on your phone at the high school football game. But the NFL, believe me, they stop for nobody. They don't care about Jesus' birthday. I don't know why you think they care about Winnetonka and Liberty. They don't care about either one of those things. We got to go get to this money. And this television money, they are paying us way too much money for us to be considerate of your schedule. That's what they plan on doing. So, Rob, let's get back to talking about the Royals here. I'm really excited, at least with this version of the Royals, anytime I get a chance to see them play a team that is in their weight class. I think it's safe to say that this is a good week for the Royals. You play against the Houston Astros. They're always in the mix, always a playoff team, one of the better teams in the American League. They're over 500. You go to their park for the next 3 days, and you follow that up this weekend against the St. Louis Cardinals. Divisional matchup, should be a lot of fans out there. They're over 500. I think this is a really good week for the Royals. I want to give you guys a lot of credit. We didn't talk about this in the 5 o'clock hour, but we did on Friday's show. We talked about using this past weekend as a litmus test for where people are with the Kansas City Royals. I made the point on Friday's show that just about every baseball country in America, with the weather that we were talking about this past weekend, with how well the Royals are playing, with the opponent that they were playing, that you were going to get 30,000 people out there on a Friday night. They got 30,000 people out there on Friday. They got 28,000 people out there on Saturday, and they got 25,000 people out there on Mother's Day. To give you a comparison, the Royals did better this weekend than they did during Big Slick weekend last year. So I think we are in line for another big weekend. I think we're talking about 30,000 people close to it coming out to the ballpark on Friday against the Cardinals, probably somewhere in that same range on Saturday against the Cardinals. And then on Sunday, they'll probably get somewhere between 26,000 to 28,000 people out there this weekend for the Cardinals. So, Rob, I know we spent a lot of time talking about attendance on Friday's show, and I think the fans certainly responded. They are all in on this season. They are very engaged. Whether it is going out this past weekend, whether it's the television ratings or the radio ratings, I think fans responded in a big way that they are buying into what the Royals are selling.
I think the fans are bought in. And this show was probably the foremost voice for complaining that last season fans didn't buy in. We played the how many people are going to Kauffman Stadium tonight game. I feel like last season we kind of browbeat fans with, why are you not going? The team is good. The team is good. And everyone's like, no thanks. Fans are going back to the ballpark or listening and watching in big numbers this year, and I think those big numbers are going to continue because you mentioned it. They had the big weekend last weekend against the Red Sox. This upcoming weekend, they're playing the Cardinals. I'm pretty sure I saw someone say the Cardinals' Friday night game's already sold out. So, like, they're going to do really well. And by the way, this is around the time last year. Remember that texted in that no one can expect Royals fans to go to games because of graduation weekend? Fast forward a year, fans are going during graduation time. Then, the next series after those two homestands, looked it up, that's Big Slick. Kauffman is going to be one of the places to be on the weekend in May. You got the Red Sox for a big series. The Cardinals are going to be a big series. And then you got Big Slick to end the month. Like, they're going to do really big weekend numbers. And if the team on the field keeps performing the way they have been, they are going to get good numbers into June. I know fans went out this weekend, you know, got met with a series loss. But if they go win the Cardinals series or they go, you know, beat the Tigers during Big Slick weekend, you're going to see a bigger level of fan buy-in. So, as someone who was one of the leading voices that browbeat fans last season, I will tell you, I am very impressed with the way fans have shown up, and I think the numbers are going to get bigger and bigger. And if the team keeps playing well, the numbers are going to get bigger and bigger. I don't think we're going to have July days this year where we say, why were there only 11,000 people at the K if the team's good? I think those days might be behind us, or at least small weekend series are behind us.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at the tickets for this weekend. I didn't even think about the possibility they could be sold out. It looks like you could still buy tickets now. I'm telling you, with the Cardinals in town, it ain't cheap this weekend to go out there if you were planning on going out there. But you do have the ability. This should also be a big weekend, so I just looked at how they're doing it. They're doing the 85 celebration on Friday, and then they're doing the 15 celebration on Saturday. So, I mean, this is a big weekend in Kansas City. I believe they're doing the big gala, the big dinner on Thursday, celebrating the 85 team on Friday, the World Series team from 15 on Saturday. So, I mean, this should be one of their biggest weekends of the year out there, which makes a lot of sense. Like, there's a lot of Royals history to celebrate. The Cardinals are in town. The weather should hold up again. The team is playing very well. The Cardinals are in town. So a lot of people either are here, they'll drive over from St. Louis. The Cardinals are a very regional team. So a lot of people around the area also cheer for the Cardinals. I think this is a very exciting time to be a Royals fan. They got to take care of business this week, but it's also encouraging. I mean, this weekend you'll get Reagans, you'll get Lugo in that series as well. So, I mean, it should be a really, really fun weekend coming up at Kauffman Stadium. All right, coming up, we'll get you ready for, there's a lot happening tonight in the NBA. We got a couple of very important game fours in the NBA. We also have the NBA draft lottery coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We got a busy night in the NBA today. I understand that basketball is a make-or-miss game, so I'm not telling you anything that's unique to just the Celtics. But with the amount of threes that they take, it's more of a make-or-miss game for them compared to everybody else. They have taken 140 threes in their three games so far this series. 140 threes over three games. Well, in game three, they shot over 50%. If you do that, I mean, it's going to be really tough to beat you. They outscored the Knicks by 45 points from the three-point line. You got to make that up somewhere else, and there's not enough other ways to score in order for you to make that up. So the Knicks got ran off the court. They were down 36-20 at the end of the first quarter. They were down over 20 heading into the halftime break. I mean, that's really the end of the game. So it is game four coming up later today. So if you want to do a little dual screen action, you can. A little Royals and also a little NBA as well. I'm sure there's some NHL playoffs on today. So you can maybe triple box it, triple screen it today if you want. I know the Knicks are leading this series. It feels like they're behind. They have not outplayed the Celtics so far in their series. They haven't. The Celtics shot poorly the first two games. Now, the Knicks get credit for that, and you won the game. At some point, you got to go out there, and you got to outplay the Celtics. You got to just beat them. And I just don't think they've done that yet in the first three games of this series. So can they do that in game four? Because in my opinion, whichever team wins game four tonight, that's the team that wins this series. The Knicks are at home today. If you win one of these two games, and you have a 3-1 series advantage, only 13 teams in NBA history have ever come back from a 3-1 deficit. History tells you that the Knicks are advancing then to the NBA Finals. Or you lose this series, or you lose this game, it's now 2-2, and now all the advantage that you had built up in winning the first two games in their building, you've now given that back to the Celtics and made this a best of three series. I don't like your chances. So it's real simple for me. In the first game tonight in the NBA, you got to run the Celtics off the three-point line. They took 40 threes in game three. They made two. They made 20 of them. You're not beating the Celtics. You're not beating anybody if they shoot like that. You got to run them off the three-point line. You got to figure out a way to get Jalen Brunson going. He hasn't had one of those 32 points on 55% shooting. He hasn't had one of those games yet. The objective for the Warriors seems very simple. You got to try to extend this thing out as far as you can to get Steph back. You need more offense than what you got in game three. Jimmy Butler had 30 points. Jonathan Kuminga, who never plays, he had 30 points. That was kind of it. You didn't get anything from Buddy Hield. I don't know what Draymond was out there doing. He was out there getting cardio. He had 2 points and fouled out of the game and had 4 rebounds. Draymond, you might as well be podcasting if that's what you planned on doing for tonight. You certainly didn't help us in this game. You just need more. You got to be able to step up because you don't have Steph there. That obviously changes everything you want to do offensively. So we got 2 games coming up later today in the NBA in about 40 minutes or so. We got the Celtics and the Knicks for Madison Square Garden, and we also have Minnesota and Golden State. Boston up 2-1. The Timberwolves up 2-1. I actually think that Minnesota is going to the NBA Finals. I think they're going to beat the Thunder in the next round. I don't know if that counts as a hot take or not, but I think Minnesota is going to play for the NBA championship this year.
I mean, the part about the NBA Finals I don't agree with, but I was about to say it as you said. And if you're the Wolves, finish the job tonight. You have a chance to keep Steph out of the series, and you're going to get bonus rest because Nuggets and Thunder is 2-2. They have to go to a 6th game. That series feels like it's trending towards 7. It feels like that's a 7-game series. So, like, if you're the Wolves, kill Golden State tonight, get to kick your feet up and have a little R&R to get ready for a very, very, very important series of the finals on the line. That's where you fell short last year because they were the one that went to a 7th game going into the Dallas series. Take a little bit of extra rest. Don't give the Warriors a breath of hope. Go out there and smoke them tonight, and there's a double advantage, the rest and no more Steph to worry about.
Yeah, no, for sure. That definitely feels like it's it. Anthony Edwards, that dunk that he had against Kevon Looney, he's incredible. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. Anthony Edwards is incredible. We had a lot of conversation about who the face of the league is going to be moving forward. I think the answer, at least from the American answer, I think the answer is going to be Anthony Edwards. Like, he is amazing. Royals and Astros, that game comes up in just a little bit. We're going to hand things off to Vern. We'll catch you guys tomorrow. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive here on 96.5 The Fan.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.